Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.
Sponsored by Frank and Honest Gourmet Coffee. Available at Centra and SuperValu stores nationwide. Great tasting coffee, no messing.
In front of me now are two people who lived very different lives with the same learning difficulty. Dyslexia of one form or another affects 1 in 10 lads, 1 in 10 people in Ireland. And it's really important to know that you have it. So we asked Amy Smith and Kevin Stewart to come in and tell us all about it. Hiya, lads.
Hello, hey, how are you?
Thanks for coming to my studio.
Not a problem.
You're very welcome. Now, Amy, let's start with you. You were assessed at a very young age. How did that happen?
Yeah, so I was assessed at 7.5, which is kind of quite early. We can assess from, you can be assessed from kind of 6.5 once you've completed the first half of senior infants. So I think my mum was straight in the door as soon as I, after Christmas and senior infants, she was straight in.
So did she have an inkling? Did she she said, oh, well, things are a bit difficult for her when she's learning. Did she have any?
I actually was really lucky. I had a brilliant teacher in first class. Her name was Patricia Kilcummins, and she,
shout out to Patricia.
Yeah, good one, Patricia. She kind of was looking at me and just could see that, like, orally I was really good. I could speak and I could answer questions orally really well, but I just really got very frustrated and really struggled when it came to writing them down.
Okay.
And I think what would be on every dyslexic person's gravestone is, I know what I want to say, but I can't get it down on paper. And I was just the poster child for that. So she kind of just said, listen, I think that there might be an issue there, and sent me on my mum to the Dyslexia Association, where I was assessed. So yeah, I was really, really lucky. Because
you were
kind of,
lucky.
Yeah.
And thank God for Patricia.
Yeah, Patricia.
My husband had a very different experience.
Yeah.
He was put in a sand pit and wasn't allowed to, you know, take part in the class because he found it very difficult to get down on paper what he wanted to say. And it wasn't until his mother went in and had an absolute conniption that she took him out of the school and went on. But it's like people like Patricia and teachers like that are so important to recognise these things. You had a range of support and you went on to study law.
I did, yeah.
Very good. So you had a pretty good experience, but it's not like that for everybody.
No, it's not like that for everyone. And I think even in the nicest of experiences, you come across pockets of really difficult stuff.
Yeah.
Like even in secondary school, I had a very difficult time with some teachers, you know, having to like lift up my desk and kind of walk it up to the front of the whiteboard every day and things like that. Because just for some reason, she thought if my nose was touching the whiteboard, I'd have a better idea.
She just can't see it. That's all that's wrong with her.
I fell off the back of a chair actually one day because I was leaning so far back to try to see like the other side of the board, and I just went flying back into the... But again, like things like that are just coming across people who are like, listen, if she puts in a bit more work, she'll be grand. And like, dyslexic kids are working really, really hard already. They don't need to work any harder. They just need to work a little bit smarter in terms of what works for them. So, you know.
Hi, Kevin.
Hello.
So, Kevin, you're 29. When were you assessed?
Less than 6 months ago. So when I was 28.
28?
Yeah. So
how do you go through your life like that?
A lot of struggles.
Really?
Yeah. So I suppose I would have always had different kind of issues and struggles throughout my education. When I was younger, it would have been a case of, you know, 3 or 4 hours at homework when my friends would be done, dusted, and out the door playing.
And did your parents have any suspicions as to what was going on, or did they just...
My parents were incredibly supportive. Mm. I just don't think about 25 years ago that the knowledge base would have been there.
Very true.
It wouldn't have been as common to know about it. And then I just wouldn't have had a teacher that picked it up.
Damn it.
Unfortunately.
Patricia, where were you?
Yeah, I needed a Patricia in my life.
So 6 months ago.
Yeah.
And you've been to college and everything, haven't you?
Yeah.
Was that difficult? Was it really difficult to get through life with this?
It was. So I struggled a lot when I was in college. I suppose just not knowing what I was supposed to be doing, kind of a bit lost.
And you hear dyslexia quite a bit now. Amy, you now work with the Dyslexia Association of Ireland. How common do you think these stories like Kevin's are? And how does late dyslexia assessment affect kids' confidence?
Yeah, I'm really lucky to work with the Dyslexia Association, and I get to do really cool, interesting things that I would have really loved when I was growing up. So I think that's the benefit of it. We see people come in to be assessed anywhere from 6.5 to I think 72 was the oldest person that we got. And that person literally just wanted the peace of mind that they weren't stupid. And that can be really hard. People have very, really deep-seated, upsetting experiences of school and education that kind of really maim them for the rest of their lives. And they want that assurance that actually none of it was their fault. But even now, like I run, I created this like workshop for kids with dyslexia from the ages of 9 to 16. It's called Dyslexia and Me. And we do all this really cool stuff about like resilience and self-esteem. And I, as part of that, get them to do like a positives board and a negative board. So I get them to write down the positive words that they associate with their dyslexia, but also the negative stuff they associate with their dyslexia. And like kids will say things like lazy, stupid, hopeless, fakers, you know, all that sort of stuff, dumb, you know, really upset and stuff. And like, these kids are 9.
That's awful.
You know, and it's very internalized upset, and they just feel very, like, I suppose they don't understand because kind of it wasn't explained to them, or they just get all of those messages kind of from lots of different places. And it's really upsetting that still kids are internalizing that kind of those emotions around it. And I think at least those kids know that they have dyslexia so they can learn about it. But kids who feel that way, who don't have a word for it, it's very hard for them, because I think we're in this weird place where we don't want to label children, but actually dyslexic kids are already labelled, because they've already,
with the wrong labels.
Yeah, you want to relabel them with actual positive words, and dyslexia can be a really positive word, and take away all those horrible labels they've
like
already
had,
like
stupid and lazy, and that is awful. And 1 in 10 people in Ireland have it.
Yeah.
Like, it's huge. Kevin, back to you. Nobody, including yourself, knew the difficulties you were having. Were teachers frustrated with you?
Oh yeah, all the time. So a lot of the words that Amy has said there would have echoed with me, because I would have heard them throughout my school career. Could apply himself more, need to stop daydreaming in class. Those were things that were on my
the
report
easy,
card.
The easy options, not actually looking into it. So, do you have any advice for teachers or parents who are getting these report cards, who say, no, they're very lazy, they just need to, you know, or they're taking so long to do their homework? What would you say to them?
I would say, like, I've never met a 7.5-year-old who was lazy. Like, kids want to please their teachers.
They want to learn.
So, yeah, they want to learn. So if things like that are coming up on your young child's report card, it's definitely something that you want to say, actually, I think there might be an issue here. For teachers, I mean, there's really amazing teachers out there, but I think there is a fear that you will say to someone, oh, we might want to look into dyslexia, and put them through all this, and maybe they're not dyslexic. But I think the alternative is much worse.
Okay, good point.
Yeah, I think not knowing you're dyslexic for your whole life or for a significant portion of your life is much worse.
Can I tell you, because my mother-in-law is dyslexic, and so is my husband, and so is his sister. So is it like, would I be getting my daughter now in to be a assessed? Would you think it's a genetic thing? What is it, genetic?
Yeah, we do see it run in families. So we often see kind of parents, grandparents, cousins, all that sort of stuff. So you would keep an eye out. If you have someone with dyslexia in your family, there's no need to rush to assessment for your child. But it is just about keeping an eye out and maybe making a teacher aware. Actually, we know that there's a bit of dyslexia in the family. So just to be aware if they're struggling with certain things.
Very good point. Thank you for that. Okay, so here's a big reveal. You're a couple.
Yes. We are.
Amy, when did you start suspecting that your boyfriend, Kevin, was dyslexic?
Yeah, we're going out about 10 years, so I think probably about 2.5 months in.
Really? Was that soon? You were like, So yeah. What were the signs? What were you, what
I
made the alarm bells go?
Well, when you're asking me how to spell something, it's definitely, it's like the blind leading the blind there. It was a difficult one.
Okay.
But yeah, no, I think especially like we started going out when we were in college. So there was a bit of like, you know, some stuff that I was just like, Kev, like, I think, you know, you might be a bit dyslexic. And I was receiving support in college, like extra time in exams and stuff like that. And he would be saying, you know, oh, that'd be great for me, I'd love that. And I was like, yeah, because I think you're super dyslexic, dude. Like, it's happening.
It's there.
So, yeah.
It's there. So, Kevin, are you, you're pretty chill, but are you bitter that you slipped through the cracks for so many years?
I mean, when I was first diagnosed, yeah.
I'd say you're pretty angry.
I suppose when I got my first, at first when I was diagnosed, the first thing that came to my head was, I'm in for the mother of all. I told you so.
There it is.
The mother of
lovely.
All. Yeah.
Oh, do you bring that up all the time?
Oh, I enjoyed it so much. Now I think I'm like a dyslexia savant. I can just look at people, say yes or no.
You. It's 1 in 10. I might be right, and so it doesn't matter. Get tested anyway. That is amazing. Thanks for coming in, because there's a huge stigma still around it. And it's so sad to hear that, you know, kids are, they are getting, you're very right, they are getting labelled, but with the wrong labels. And it's just, we just need to teach them a little bit differently. That's all it is. Thank you so much, Amy Smith and Kevin Stewart. Thanks for coming in and telling us about dyslexia. And if you want to find out more, there's loads more information in written and audio format at dyslexia.ie.
Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.